All right.
Wow, that's loud.
Now we're awake. Thanks everybody for being here. Matt Colmorgan.
Hey, I'm Chip Lazar. Chip Lazarowski from Soft Surf.
We're going to talk about recommendations on 2.0, Hail High Code. So we're going to cover just a couple of things today. I'm going to be real brief about Soft Surf. It's just very common for people who have not heard of us before, which is totally cool. And then we'll kind of talk about why we started this journey around building a recommendations engine, the theory and science behind it, and then sort of what we learned throughout this process. So real quick, three slides on Soft Surf. We've been around for almost 26 years. We're 8,000 people globally. Historically, we've been kind of the guys behind the guys. So if you've used Microsoft Teams, if you've looked at the weather on your phone, if you've read a review of a product on Best Buy, if you've used Atlassian Jira, you've touched software that we have built. Again, we kind of have taken the stance of we're the guys behind the guys, but no more. We're coming up pretty hard with building our brand in the marketplace here. We do quite a few different things. We have some really, really smart people on our team. How that translates specifically to media is really four areas. We focus on video content supply chain, from ingestion through management through distribution. We focus on data analytics, which is the area we're covering today. We think from the data science to the data pipeline design, the infrastructure around the data, the management, and then turning it into business solutions like recommendations, churn prediction, attribution, however the business wants to leverage data. Cloud-based workflows, we tend to think about heavy CPU-based workloads and offload them onto cloud, things like transcoding, rendering, and again, and then complete DevOps, so moving your whole infrastructure into the cloud. So that is SoftServe in a nutshell. We kind of embarked on this journey. We were working for a few European and US-based media organizations. We were helping set up some data challenges, really setting up that pipeline. So getting access to the data, cleansing it, have a workflow in there, so if we had anomalies of the data, we could understand that, and then make clean, good, reliable data available to the businesses, so they could use it to gain insights. And one of the use cases they talked about, certainly attribution, but recommendations was clear across the board what they wanted to get to. They wanted to deliver more personalized experience to their audiences. Our challenge was we didn't really like the data we were seeing. It kind of came into sort of four buckets. For content data, we know there's a lot out there, but we weren't really seeing content data being leveraged. We're seeing mostly just video IDs. It really wasn't integrated deep into the genre, the films, the stars, the plot, things like that. Then we had the player data, and that was actually pretty impressive. We had user ID, we had start, stop, pause, skip, if they backed up, they rewind, the quality of the stream, if they saw ads or not, if they continued watching after the ads, what they watched before, what they watched after. So there's a lot that we could glean from the player data. We had geographic data when the ISP let us get that. And then we had a conversion data. So we knew who was looking at what content and were they actually playing that content. But our challenge was what we saw really only gave us kind of very general overview of a user, and it really wasn't, it was more content-based. It wasn't really user-based. So we set out to do something different. And really the reason behind that is we all want personal experiences. We all want custom, tailored content delivered to us so we don't have to hunt around because, quite frankly, we don't have the time. There's just too much out there for us to watch. And we saw that single-threaded recommendations are only telling kind of part of the story, treating people as groups and not as individuals. And we wanted to create an engine that would recommend content based on their interests, based on their lifestyle, not just what they've watched in the past or what the network or broadcaster wanted them to watch in the future. We started looking at data sources. We saw that we could leverage trends, we could get access to social graphs, past consumption habits, even on other platforms, things that let us into gender, demographics, times that are active, the device types. Even Facebook alone, just that one data point, alone gave us, you know, retail purchases, type of device they're on, where they're shopping, public data, browsing history across. So there was a plethora of personal data that we could start to leverage. And then in our retail practice, we were doing this really interesting thing with psychometrics, leveraging the Ocean model. And those of you who are not familiar with Ocean, it's sort of the big five personality traits, which are openness, consciousness, agreeableness, neuroticism, and extroversion. And where you plot on that map really tells a lot about who you are and what might you be open to watching, and even if you're going to be open to taking a risk. Watching something or watching a drama, maybe it's something like an anime, where you have never watched anime before, but your traits kind of indicate that you're going to enjoy this type of data. So in working with the broadcasters, we wanted to make sure that we were solving business problems for them. So, you know, for us, it was really about customers having too much choices. We wanted to just not have them be scrolling through. We wanted to keep them on the platform and keep them engaged and coming back. And then the third area was really create that competitive advantage. And, you know, that was a piece we kind of dove into with them and sort of drilled that into two different areas. So very revenue-driven, and then sort of customer experience-driven, not from the external customer, because then that was easy. That was going to be the personalized experience. The customer experience was going to be really about the business user inside knowing more about that customer. So from a revenue-driven, we're looking at, you know, increase your engagement, obviously, more exposure, increased advertising impressions, a change in viewer behavior, so becoming a passive to a much more engaged viewer, engaging in that kind of fair exchange of data for a better viewing experience, and then building trust, being willing to accept that recommendation. And again, that was kind of Chips and I thing. It's like, we're going to get someone to watch anime. They'd never watch anime. They're going to like it. And then the third thing was dormant viewers. So in Europe, the broadcasters had this challenge where they would say, well, people just come in for this one soccer game. They log into our platform, and then we never see them again. So that was our ability to sort of make, you know, people come in for one piece of content,
but give them an experience.
And then on the customer-driven, it was really just two areas. So have more data about the viewer, being able to associate their content tastes, their habits, and then for the business users to glean insights.
So Hail Hybrid, my marketing guy had to explain this to me because I'm not a Marvel guy. But
so we built a really nice UI, and the one challenge with recommendations is everything's happening on the back end. So a demo is not really very exciting because it just looks like, hey, I'm gonna type in this piece of content and I get some recommendations. But what's happening on the backside is pretty powerful. So I challenged our marketing department. I said, guys, here's my dilemma. I want to show the power of the data science we're leveraging. I want to show the algorithms in action. I want to make this thing real. I can give you access to the code. I can show you when the application's running, show you when we're slicing and dicing data. What I got back wasn't really what I envisioned. I kind of got a commercial, but I'm going to play it anyway, because it's what I have. But anyway, this is kind of what's happening. And then after this runs, Chip's going to talk about the infrastructure, how we make it powerful, and then the data science behind that. So I apologize in advance for the 1 minute commercial.
More content is being created now than ever before. The challenge is to attract, engage, and retain viewers. Single thread engines only tell part of the story. Worse yet, they treat people as groups, not individuals. An optimal engine should deliver true personalization beyond what is popular or has been watched previously. SoftServe has a solution for legacy engines. Recommendation Engine 2.0, a hybrid engine with the power to fully understand viewer lifestyles and make informed recommendations. We leveraged GCP machine learning capabilities, integrated Ocean personalization, and took a containerized approach. Here's how it works. In micro and even nanoseconds, our engine processes recommendation mix filtering elections, Thompson sampling, user feedback, and user interaction. Introducing content the viewer might not have searched for, been exposed to, or knew he or she wanted to watch. These unique recommendations create new fans, longer engagements, and increase engine reliance over time, all through the power of data science and over 25 years of big data, AI, ML, and human-centered design experience. Our engine eliminates the need for searching, scrolling, or previewing to access hours of custom content perfectly suited for binge-watching. Does your engine retain viewers and convert loyalists into brand fanatics? Let's talk about Recommendation Engine 2.0. 100% agnostic, 100% open source, 100% seamless integration.
All right, I don't think it was that bad. But hey, everybody, I'm Chip Pozdarsky, and I'm going to quickly explain how everything sort of works under the hood. And I'm going to try to keep it high level, but if anybody wants to come up and ask me questions afterwards, I'm more than welcome to field any of that. But so basically, the recommendation engine components are made up of all kinds of data, content-based, so that's like descriptive metadata about your content, trigging data, anything that you can gather about the actual content that you're displaying, the collaborative-based, so as Matt kind of mentioned earlier, we can tap into the social networks and different profile characteristics that specific user has. And then a hybrid approach, so we can kind of take data, cross-reference it, correlate it. You can take credit card data and kind of merge that with your viewing data, and you can get all kinds of different data sources that feed into this recommendations engine. User profile as well. So this is served up in your application. So we have a user profile, we have that data. You might have some geo data about that specific person. And any interaction, every time the user interacts with the app, we're tracking all that, and that's going into the model. We're putting all that together, and we're using the Thompson sampling method. So what is that, you might ask? Thompson sampling is a mathematical algorithm where basically it's called explore and exploit. So it is used to solve what was traditionally called the multi one-arm banded problem. So just imagine you walk into a casino, and you have 10 one-arm bandits or slot machines, and you have 100 pulls on any of them. So what you're going to try to do is you're going to try to maximize your rewards. And every time you pull on one, you might win, you might almost win, you might not even come close to winning, but you're constantly learning stuff and you're coming up with a better method of maximizing those rewards the next time you're there. I'm sure my grandmother was great at this. But so essentially it's a self-teaching machine learning process, and it instantly self-corrects as well. So like if I'm renting out my condo in Buckhead on an Airbnb and somebody's watching romantic comedies all weekend, when I get back, it'll figure out, hey, that's not really the typical behavior that I have, and it'll correct itself. And for any mathematicians in the room, this is the actual formula, so you can write it down if you want. Here's all the data flows, and this is kind of how what I was talking about earlier, but we're just constantly taking all different kinds of data sets. We're taking user behavior, we're taking social information, and we're pushing it through this sampling algorithm. This is just kind of a conceptual architecture diagram. And the thing to really highlight here is over there on the right, or I guess the left, my bad. You can have as many different data sets as you want. So you can have descriptive metadata, you can have social information, you can have credit card purchasing information. Whatever data sources you're comfortable in gathering about the user, or you can purchase in the open marketplace, or you can find open source or public domain, you can include that in the algorithm. We have custom-built machine learning formulas that kind of address each one of those data sets in a way that would most likely help your business. Everybody's business is different. Everybody's viewership is different. So we'll customize this for you. And then, as I said, it'll go through the Thompson sampling methodology, and it'll constantly interact with the application and improve itself and get better and better every time you visit the application. Why Hail Hybrid? So our approach, I think that we're really kind of proud of, and we feel like it's going to be a success, is the engine can evaluate as many unlimited data sources. So just like I said, you can basically find anything in the marketplace that will help guide the user to the proper content. All of the recommendations are constantly self-learning and finding new content that people will like, and we're constantly evaluating their interaction with the application. Making it personal. So like I just said, Matt said earlier, we're not attacking a demographic. We're not trying to feed everything the same recommendations. These are all fully designed for the specific person that's using the application at that time. Social data, retail data, geographic data, consumption habits. We can use a lot of that information to help guide the recommendation process. And then this is the best part, we're making it open and scalable. So everything we've built, it's a framework. It's not a product that we think is perfect for you. It's not a product that we're gonna say solves everybody's problems. It's a framework that we can work with you on developing, the best recommendation engine for your specific content and viewership. We're using a container architecture so that we can kind of get the processing done in microseconds and nanoseconds, so there's no lag time. Everything's open source, so you don't have to buy anything. We'll just work with you on helping implement it in your application. And all of the inputs are completely customizable. So some things will work for some people, they won't work for others. I'd previously worked with Cartoon Network in the past, and they have a lot of KidVid rules, so there's certain things that are off limits. But then other companies, such as HBO, might have more bandwidth than what they can use. And then the key takeaways from our process, you want to take this back?
Yeah, sure thing. So a couple things we learned here. So, incredible amount of data is available out there. It doesn't have to be about specific people, it can just be about trends, content trends, just trends in the industry. Put it to use. The way Chip mentioned the containerized approach here, and we could burst capacity, and we just figured out, we'll let the algorithms determine what's applicable here. We don't have to go through. We just have access to data. The algorithms will tell us how it's going to influence content recommendations or not. Transparency and trust, I think, is pretty critical. So you are engaging in a kind of a fair exchange for data in exchange for a great experience. And that could be through a social media login, could be accessing Twitter or what have you. But people want to know why recommendations were made and what kind of data was used. So we made that part of the framework that was showing what algorithm was selected specifically and what data kind of led to that recommendation. And the last one is you're going to need a test group. And unfortunately, when you're doing these things, testing internally, it's not like you can roll it out to hundreds of thousands of people and automatically train your model. So you're going to have to really press on your friends, your kids, your coworkers, your relatives, so be nice to them. And that was pretty much it. Thank you, guys.